That was powerful, wasn't it?
Amen.
It's really, really an awesome event that we're celebrating today. It was just a phenomenal thing that took place just now. I don't know if you sensed the presence of God the way I did, but he's in here, and he came to reveal himself to us in a way he's never revealed himself to before. And that's what the resurrection is all about. Jesus revealed himself to a community of people who had never seen him in that way before. He rose from death. He conquered hell. Death and the grave. Yeah. And he rose. He did what was physically impossible to mankind, but yet he did it anyway. It's extraordinary. I just want to say thank you to the guys from Biggles Way from coming up. It's really great to have them here from our fellowship at Biggles Way. Right here is our lead elder, Sister Louisa. Good to have her. And it's, you know, it's really funny that our brother American has the name of American, yet he's French Congolese. And he always kids me whenever we have a meal of some sort, and we said the last one we had, we were bringing food from every nation. He told me there's no such thing as American food. A man with the name American says there's no such thing as American food. But there is. Chicken nuggets, man. Oh, man. I want to also welcome somebody else here. It's because this young man, several weeks ago, he made a commitment to Christ. And yet he has a lot of struggles in his life. And we're praying him for him and believing God for him. But right here in the front row, I just want to welcome Brother Leon right here. And his, we believe God's going to do something phenomenal in this young man's life. So you remember Leon and you keep praying for him. Okay. I want to talk to you. I want you to go to Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Read some of the same verses I believe that were read this morning. And then we're going to be out of your way very quickly. Luke 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when you were still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." I want to talk to you about the power of the resurrection and a new perspective. The power of the resurrection and a new perspective. Because indeed, when Jesus died on the cross, when he came and he died, he faced a traumatic death. But it wasn't for us to look at it, and it wasn't for us to think, or for the time, the people to consider this was an impossibility, things are not going to ever change. But he told them, and he made it very clear to them, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days, I will raise it up. And what Jesus is trying to get us to see, that it's not only about him rising from the grave, but it is also about us rising from the limitations of our minds. And sometimes we are limited by the way we think, limited by the stuff that life brings our way, but yet there is lies inside of us, an ability and a power and a name that's bigger than the stuff that we're encountering on the outside. And he's trying to get us to see that if we're always and consistently look to that one, look to that name, there ain't no problem that's too difficult, no thing that's ever insurmountable, and no situation that could ever stop you. There ain't nothing that can hold you, nothing that can control you, because, beloved, his name is Jesus, and he is Lord of all. He's the King of all kings, and he'll break you through whatever it is. Are you hearing me? So I just want to talk to you very briefly about what is taking place or what took place on that phenomenal day. There are three things that are mentioned in these verses that we read. The stone first was rolled away. It was moved. What ensured what was put in front of the tomb to ensure that Jesus stayed in the tomb was rolled away. Yeah. Now, they put a stone in front of it. Not only did they put a stone in front of it, but they marked it or sealed it with the seal of the Roman Empire, in which was stating that the Roman Empire had authority not only over the tomb, but the contents of the tomb. That devil's a liar. Let me tell you something. That stone weighed at least 1.5 to 2 tons. Virtually impossible for a small group of men. Look, now I know we can get AJ, we can get Greg, we can get Joe, you can get, you know, even you can get me now. We can get American got some serious guns, and all of us can get against that stone, and we would not budge that stone. And it's virtually impossible for a small group of men to move the stone, and really impossible for one man, yet the stone was moved. And I want to tell you something. God is trying to speak to you and me. Whatever held us, whatever bound us in the past is not strong enough to keep us there. When Jesus is in the picture, he'll roll the stone away and let you out of the problem that you're in. Somebody needs to say amen, because you're sitting here and some of you are bound in stuff. Some of you are hope in a hopeless situation, yet there is somebody bigger than you, bigger than I, is able to roll that stone out of your situation. He's able to move it. And so, y'all please pray for me. I'm getting all excited because I'm excited because I was bound and there was a stone in front of my life. And he held me in the thought, and I thought I would never be free. But one day Jesus was burst in my heart. He was born in my heart. He was raised up in my heart. And the thing that held me, he rolled it away, moved it out of my way. And now I have freedom and liberty, not because I willed it, but the power of God demonstrated it. He's real. He's real. And he's alive. Glory be to God. I'm sorry, I'm going to get loud today. Y'all just forgive me. I'm going to get very loud. So we can see that it's a very powerful stone. The situation, the stone was rolled away. And sometimes we can see things as being immovable in our lives, but for Jesus, there is nothing that's immovable. He can move it out of the way. Even though you think it's an impossibility, and in fact, it may seem an impossibility because of the bigness of the problem and the weight of the problem. But with Jesus, what's impossible, he makes possible. And he can roll that situation right out. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen in this place. And so he will remove even unjust authorities. That Roman Empire put a seal. Listen, I was held by drugs. And I was held by alcohol. I was addicted. But I stand before you right now, free from all things that held me. And that's what he wants to do for each and every one of us. Set you free. Now, if you notice the second thing that it says that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. He was no longer there. And that's empirical evidence that Jesus did rise. He said he would rise on the third day. He told his disciples he would in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 19. You could read about it. He told them, I'm not going to stay there. And it's empirical evidence, because the tomb is empty, that he did rise. He came out of the tomb. And really what's important for us to understand is that tomb represents for you and me great darkness. Yeah. See, one of the things that we fear most is stuff we can't see. And we're in darkness and we can't break out of it, because there's nothing we can't. We don't have hope. We don't have a belief that things can change, because it's all dark. We can't see. Well, he rolled that stone away, and what came into that tomb was nothing but light. Yeah. Woo! You know, I feel like running around this church right now, because I'm going to tell you something. I was held in darkness, but when the light came into my situation, the light gave me hope. The light gave me freedom. The light enabled me to see something I couldn't see anymore. And I was released from the limitation of darkness and brought into the liberty of light. And now I have hope for the future, hope for tomorrow, joy for right now. And that's okay. You don't have to rejoice with me. I'll do it by myself. I'll rejoice all by myself. And so he said, I don't have to allow anything. Listen, because he brought us out, I don't have to allow anything from the dark to breed in my life. The darkness no longer dictates to me. I dictate to the darkness because of the light. You know, how many of you know that when you're in darkness, there's hopelessness, you're just sitting there and you kind of grope around trying to feel your way, and you're afraid to take a step because you can't see. Even in relationships, you can't touch, sense anything because it's just darkness. But the thing about the light is when the light shines, it gives you an ability to see things you've never seen before. Yes. You know, even as believers, we need to have a greater revelation of the light. See, darkness will try to limit you. Darkness indeed will limit you. And I tell you, we're fighting a real enemy. The enemy, Satan, wants to keep you limited. He wants to keep you in the dark. He wants to keep you in a place where you can't see the light. Because when you see the light, you see how big God is and how small your enemy is in comparison to God. And he wants to bring you out of that into a light that you can... Light! Light! Okay, stay with me. Our perspective has to be, I am subject to the light in all of its possibilities. In the light, because you can see there are more possibilities than you can imagine. Because he let you out of the tomb, because he broke and set you free from the tomb, there are more possibilities in the light than there ever were when you were in the darkness. In the darkness, there's a voice that speaks to you and tells you, you never will, you never can, and it is impossible. But in the light, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There ain't nothing that's a limitation to me when I'm in Jesus, because his spirit raised him from the dead. And the Bible says the same spirit which raised him from the dead is alive in me. Come on. Okay. A new perspective. We got a new perspective, right? So we deal with things differently than we did when we were in the dark, yes? New perspective. I don't have to deal or let the dark dictate to me or speak to me in a way that is belittling or says everything's an impossibility. I deal with the light which says it can be done through him, yes? Okay, stay with me. Thirdly, why do you look at the living among the dead, the angel asked. A new perspective, a point on where, why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, some of us, we still look for direction from the resources we did when we were in the dark. We look for direction in life from resources that we looked for while we were in the dark. And he says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not here. Now you see, listen. In the tomb, the Bible, I just said it a few minutes ago, he's not there anymore. And when you think about it, I'd rather get direction from someone who's not in a tomb than someone who's in a tomb. And yet, I have yet to hear somebody talk to me from the tomb. I know there's a whole lot of people who believe in seances and believe in the dead talking to them. But let me tell you something. That direction that's being spoken there is not godly direction. And I'm going to tell you that voice that speaks, I've never heard nobody talk to me and say, hey, man, Vince, I'm going to tell you what you need to do from the tomb. Because they're dead. Yeah. There's only one man in the Bible that talks about who's dead, but yet his sacrifice still speaks, and that's Abel. The Bible says he's dead, but listen, Brother Rich, the Bible says his sacrifice is still speaking today. He's the only man I know can speak from that position. Everybody else is dead. They can't talk to you. I don't want to talk to somebody and get direction from someone or something that is in a death situation. I trust in the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's not held by it. Oh, he knows how to win, beloved. He knows how to overcome the problem because he overcame our greatest problem and our greatest fear, which is death. And if he can overcome death, he can overcome that little thing you're going through right now. That difficulty you're going through right now, he can overcome it. He can show you how to overcome it because he defeated the greatest adversary you ever had, death itself. If he can defeat death, he can defeat your situation. Yeah, he can. Ain't that right, Miss Lily? He could teach me how. I need to learn. Listen, y'all pray for me. I'm learning how to woo my wife again. After 40 years, you know, you lose a few touches. And you got to go ahead and get it back together again. But if he can win over death, he can teach me how to woo my wife again. If he can win over death, he can encourage you not to give up on him, but to trust him and that he will fulfill everything that he has promised in your life. You can trust him for that if he can win over death. Are you hearing me? Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that he raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. The spirit of God raised Jesus over our greatest enemy, our fear of our greatest enemy. And for me, in the spirit, for me, I don't know about you, there is nothing that is insurmountable. There is nothing that is impossible. There is nothing that can hold me and nothing that can stop me because Jesus is no longer in the tomb. That means neither am I. Hallelujah. The Bible says when he was raised up, he raised you up together with him and sat you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? Y'all agree or not? Okay, stay with me. He quickens or strengthens us with the purpose to bring a new perspective to everywhere we go. He's raised us up to bring a new perspective to everywhere we go and to everyone we're involved with. And that word quickened, it means he made alive, he revived, he vivified. He reinvigorated, he accelerated, he hastened, he stimulated, and incited. He invigorated, I love this word, vivify. Some of you look at it, okay, yeah, but what does that mean? he vivified. It means he made us lively, and he made us interesting. He vivified us. Now, we got a lot of interesting people here in Abundant Life Church. A lot of interesting people. But let me tell you something. Because Jesus came into your life, there is something about you. What he does to our lives is he invigorates us. He revives us. He makes us lively. But he makes us interesting. See, people look at you and they say they're people. Yet they're not really like people. They're a little bit different. A little bit different. They're lively, but yet they're also interesting. So because of that, people want to come near you to investigate what it is about you that makes you different from them. And when they investigate closely, they'll realize they are probably still in a tomb and you're not. Boy, I'm all excited. What's up, Sam? What's up, baby? Sam's not going to give me the nuts. They realize that you're interested, and this is for this reason. This is why. See, Ephesians 2, 4, 7. Now, I want you to go there. There is a reason why you are lively and you are interesting. And I'm going to get ready to close out. But this is why. This is why you bring this new perspective. And this is why you are lively and you are interesting. Ephesians chapter 2. You're not lively and interesting because of your own ability. It's nothing to do with our ability. It's nothing to do with our knowledge. It's nothing, well, maybe it is to do a little bit with our knowledge of him, but it's nothing to do with any influence of myself. It has to do with the person I'm sitting with. You ever heard that whoever you sit down with and spend time with, you become like? Oh. Whoever you sit down with and spend time with, you become like them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." I'm seated with him. Because I'm seated with him, life down here represents where I'm seated. I live down here what I am living up there. I'm seated with him here, there, and he walks with me. Oh, glory, down here. I have no enemies. I have no power that holds me up there, and I have no power that holds me down here. You aren't convinced yet? Let me say some more for you. I was weak before I sat with him up there, but his strength is being seen in me down here. Because I'm seated with him up there, by faith, I can reach out and touch him right down here. And that's the greatest thing that you and I should know. The Bible says he has seated us in heavenly places with Christ. That means by faith, I can reach up my hand and I'm seated with him and I can touch him. Even though when circumstances touch me and give me issues and problems, I have someone that I'm seated with that I can touch. Say, we're almost there. And because I'm seated up there, whenever I fall down here, I can keep getting up. Because I'm seated with him there, whenever I fall here, I can keep getting up. I don't have to stay down. He can pick me up. You know, there was once upon a time, you know, I used to like to do this skit. And it was this. I'm going to get very close. No, yeah, I am going to do it again. Come, I want all the three of you, and you two back there, I want you to come here. I want all of y'all to come right here. Yes, all of y'all, right here. Yes, my dear, I ask you to come right here. Yes, please. Thank you very much. Right there. Mr. Lilly, you get up there with him, please. Yes, yes, please, yes, I want you. Excuse me, Mr. American. See, what I was telling you about, American got some guns, don't I? Listen. Now, I want y'all to stand over here. I don't want you to go in a line. I want you to just clump together. Just come on, clump together. And I want you to do the same right here. Don't stand in a line. Just clump together. See, this is the perspective God wants to put in your mind and in our heart. Because he rose from the grave. When he rose from the grave, he did not rise to give you a mentality that when every time you run up or face a struggle, whenever you face something that seems impossible, you shrink back and you give up. He wants you to have the perspective, beloved, to know this, that I'm going to demonstrate to you whenever it comes your way. He wants you to know he's on your side. He's not against you. He's for you. Now, y'all know I love boxing. Love it. Don't love it, but I'm just saying I used to love it. I used to box. But right here, you're in a battle, and you're in a fight against a real enemy. And you're in the ring with the devil. Joel, I want you to come, and I want you to come, Joel, please, sir. This is God. Stand right there, God. This is the devil. I need one more. Where's Zane? Zane, you back there? Come here, Zane. Look at Zane. Go ahead, boy. Now, Zane is Jesus. Here's the devil. Here's God. Here's Jesus. Over there, these are the hordes of hell. The demons of hell. These are the heavenly hosts. And this is the devil. And you're in a hand-to-hand combat with the devil. Put him up, man. You got. And you're fighting. And he's throwing shots. And you throwing shots at him, and he's throwing shots at you. And sometimes he gets one through. And he gets one through. He gets one through. And it knocks you down on the ground. And you're down and you're out. And in most cases, we see ourselves as saying, oh, I'm done. I'm finished. He'll never accept me back. And he's trying to change that perspective. I don't care how many times you get knocked down. The Bible says, though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he'll pick himself back up. I don't care. Get up. And so he knocks you down. And the angels of heaven says, oh, come on. And Jesus says, come on, get up. Jesus says, you can do it. And the devil's in his hordes from hell saying, yeah, we got it. We got it. Yeah. And you get up. And you enter the battle again. And suddenly, a shot comes from nowhere that you don't expect. And it knocks you to the ground. This time it seems like it's completely flattened you. You don't even have the strength or the will to get back up anymore. And the hordes of hell are saying, we got you, baby. The devil is saying, I knew the shot that would take you down. I knew I could take you. Jesus is saying, come on, get up. I've invested in you. Get up. And the heavenly host is saying, you can do it. And God, he starts to count. One. Two. Three. The hordes of hell are saying, yeah, we got him. He ain't getting up again. He'll never get up again. And Jesus is saying, come on, son. Get up. Get up. And God is still counting. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. 10. There's a hush. Everybody gets quiet. And they're laughing. Yeah, I told you we get them. And Jesus says, he looks with a little smile on his face because he knows what's going on behind the scenes. Then suddenly, God says, 11. 12. 13, 14, he whispers, God whispers, you stay there until you're ready to get up. And the devil says, that ain't fair. What do you think you're doing? You breaking the rules, that ain't fair. And Jesus says to the devil, what do you know about being fair? I invented this thing. It's going to go by my rules. 18, 19, 20. You stay there. You're going to get up. You're going to get up. Just hang in there.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a new perspective in life. We are not beaten down or caused to be discouraged by the circumstances we face. He has raised from the grave to prove to you and me that there is nothing insurmountable in your life, that you can win, you can overcome, you can rise. Come on. Come on. You can rise. You can rise. I just want you, everybody in this place right now, you know, I want to give people an opportunity. I need to give an opportunity. I don't know what your life has been like and what you struggled with in your life. I don't know how you struggled with stuff in your life. But sometimes you feel like maybe there's no hope for you. There's nothing that God can do with my life. I want you to know He can do something with your life. In fact, He can do far more than you imagined with your life. And just as Joe comes, I want him to play. I want everybody here as best as possible just to bow your head and just to close your eyes. I want to give you an opportunity this morning if you've never made a commitment to Jesus. And you want this God who rose from the grave to be sovereign over your life, to give you direction, to lead you, to help you through your life journey. And you want Him to help you in your life. I want to give you an opportunity just to signify you want that by raising your hand. And if you've never done that before, just simply raise your hand and say, yes, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Is there anybody else in this place that would... who needs real direction, who's looking to have an eternity with Jesus? You're just not just concerned about now, but you want Him to help you through the journey of life so that you can journey into eternity with Him. If that's you, just raise your hand where you are and I'll see it. Yes, see it. Yes. Yes, I see those hands. You can put them down. Even if you're saved in this place and you know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Because sometimes it's good for even us to give our lives back to Him again. Heavenly Father, I commit my life to You. I thank You for sending Jesus. And that this day He rose, this day that we're celebrating, He rose from the grave. So that I might have new life in Him. I pray in Jesus' name that You would accept me as Your son. And I'm asking You for forgiveness for the sin that I committed against You. So that I may now live life with You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some praise in this place.